So today we'll start the sixth parak, the so-called sixth parak of Pirkei Avos. In the Mishnayos, Maseches Avos has five prakim. So we finished Maseches Avos. The sixth parak that is attached, here is later. Okay, it's not exactly sure when it came in or when it was attached to Pirkei Avos. There are different approaches and so on. Basically, this parak is a brisa. So these are brises. Let me explain what it means. You know this from Gemara. It doesn't mean that the statements are later. It's the same Tana. If you look at the very first Brisa here, it says Remeir. I mean, Remeir was a Tana, no doubt about it. What a Brisa means is something which was stated by a Tana. It was a teaching from a Tana, but for one reason or another, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who compiled the Mishnah around the year 190, 200 of the Common Era, whatever the reason, he didn't include it in the Mishnayos. There can be many reasons. So we have Bryce's, loads of Bryce's quoted in the Gemara. Sometimes the Gemara says Tanya, it doesn't mean a Bryce, it means a Tosefta. The Toseftas were collected. That's what's called Tosefta, addenda. Right? The Toseftas were collected. The Ruchi and Rabosha, it's a door after Biranasi, collected various other, shall we call it, Tanaitic statements, which, appear in the Tosefta. The Gemara sometimes quotes, but the Gemara sometimes quotes a statement that's not in the Mishnah, not in Tosefta either. That's what we call a Bryce. It's not anywhere. It doesn't exist anywhere. It exists, the person whoever quotes it, the Bala Gemara or the, whoever it is that, is speaking in the Beis Medrash, Tana Rabbana, and so on. So that's a statement that was around that people knew, and it wasn't included in the Mishnah. So that's a big question, why Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi didn't include it. On one simple level, you can say, look, he didn't find everything. When I explain to high school students, I say the Mishnah wasn't compiled by Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi one Sunday afternoon, with nothing else to do. I mean, this was presumably a very, very, we don't know, but presumably it was a very long and arduous task, and he probably had other people that were working with him, to put it together, to collect all these statements and all these teachings and so on. So some things didn't make it in for one reason or another. So you have these brises. Here, these brises have collected into this parak. And again, it's not clear when it was attached to Pirkei Avos. So probably already, maybe in the days of the Gemara already, or beyond. Again, not that the teachings are from later, but that the incorporation of this parak into Pirkei Avos is later on. There are different theories that we have an old tradition. That's one of the reasons I thought to learn Pirkei Avos now, to be able to learn Pirkei Avos, that people learned Pirkei Avos in the days leading up to Shavuos, between Pesach and Shavuos. And some people extend it. They learn again Pirkei Avos throughout the summer, up until Rosh Hashanah. The old Minhagim, which are not as widely observed today, I think in our circles, but on Mincha and Shabbos afternoon, after Mincha, people said certain kapitel of Tehillim, including the Shir Hamas, printed in all the Siddurim. I have an art school sitter right here. So printed in all the standard Siddurim, all the old Siddurim, that after Mincha, may as well open it up over here, after Mincha and Shabbos, so people would say, and let me see what the instruction here reads, okay. The following psalms are recited after Mincha every Sabbath between Sukkot and Shabbos HaGadol. So during the winter time, it starts with Baruch Nafshi, okay, which we said this morning from Shir Shayom Rosh Chodesh, okay. And then you have all this Shir Hamala. So people say that, and that was added on to the Mincha and Shabbos. I don't think that's... People do it. I don't think it's so widely observed in our circles today. And then during the other half of the year, from Pesach to Rosh Hashanah, people learn Pirkei Avos. So I don't know if that's so widely observed today. Pirkei Avos was a standard summer learning text. People would have get-togethers on Shabbos, learn Pirkei Avos, and I'm sure people still do it. I mean, but it's not as perhaps not as widespread in the formal sense as perhaps it once was. But in any event, so there are six Shabbos, by definition, you're counting from Pesach to Shavuos. We count the start of the Sefira and the second night of Pesach. So the six Shabbos after Pesach till Shavuos always. So therefore, he's learning Pirkei Avos. So there are six. So there were six prakim, so to speak. So this part of the parak was added on. Again, there are different theories, whether that's correct, that's why it happened, or again, the style is certainly similar. The style of this parak is certainly similar to the, to the rest of Pirkei Avos. In any event, it's become has become associated with Pirkei Avos. So the parak is called, it starts with the word Shonu Chachamim. Usually a parak has its nickname from the title Shonu Chachamim. But most people refer to it as, well, it's sometimes called the Brice of Reb Meir because it begins with Reb Meir. But a lot of people, most people refer to it as the parak as the parak of Kinyan Torah. Parak Kinyan Torah. Because in the fourth Mishnah, no, not the fourth Mishnah, I'm sorry, but the sixth Mishnah, which we'll see, okay, we have the famous 48 ways, the famous Memches Dover, the 48 steps, so to speak, or 48 ways with which or how one is able to acquire what qualities that a person has in order to acquire Torah properly. That's certainly worthwhile, worthwhile to know, and that also connects Shavuos, Pesach to Shavuos, and so on, and the recitation of this parak, Dafka, in the days between Pesach and Shavuos, because we know that there are 49 days from, obviously, from counting the Seder till Shavuos, and there are 48 steps here. So Rabbi Shmuel Salanter suggested that each of the days of the Seder correspond to one of these, one should focus on one of these midos, right? Each of the 48 days of the Sfira. Well, what do you mean they're 49 days? So I mean the 49th day you review everything, right? That's the last day you review everything. In the Chassidish world, I think the Chassidish Arim and others independently, B'Shol Salanta also mentioned this particular connection. So that's called Kinyan Torah. There's a way you acquire Torah. So the parak took the name Kinyan Torah. Just I'll say it quickly, the opening line. The opening line, Shanu Chachamim. Shanu Chachamim is Hebrew for Tana Rabbanan, right? I mean, Tana Rabbanan, which generally introduces a Brisa. That's exactly how Brisa usually starts, okay, with Tana Rabbanan. And, but what's interesting here is Shanu Chachamim, Tana Rabbanan, B'loshon Mishnah, B'loshon HaMishnah, okay? The people taught, whoever taught this parak and the things that follow here, were taught in the Loshon of the Mishnah. And that's true. The style of this parak is very similar, okay, very similar to the other parakim in Pirkei Avos. Although here, the basic message has to do with Limud HaTorah. Basic message has to do with Limud HaTorah and the suggestion of Limud HaTorah. But I'm just interested in the point for the moment to Lashon Mishnah. Lashon Mishnah is not just necessarily the language, but also the style and also the words. It's sometimes helpful for somebody to, when you want to memorize, and let's remember that the Torah Sheba'al Peh used to be Baal Peh, so literally, and so therefore sometimes you remember something by saying it over in exact words the way you heard it. That's how you best remember something. You say the exact words. A Chacham are precise in their words, and therefore when people want to memorize, they would memorize the exact words, and not only the words, okay, but the nuances and the style. The person has a Rebbe, you can see that very often a Talmud, a long time Talmud and so on, will say things over in the style, just the language, the body language, the movements and so on. All those aid are memory aids. And that's what, therefore, Shana Chacham Veloshana Mishnah. They mimicked, so to speak, the Mishnah. They wanted to imitate, the language of the Mishnah, the style of the Mishnah, because that's what, that's what they were doing. Of course, many people overdo it sometimes with mimicking the Rebbeim and so on, but there's something to be said for it. I remember after Ron Lichtenstein, Zichrono Livracha, was Nifter, so Rabbi Schechter, Shalita Baruch HaMechaim, he spoke, he gave I wasn't there, I think it was in Gush, he gave some kind of not exactly a hesped, just it was a while already after he was Nifter, but he shared various Zichronos, and one of the things he said, that when he first came to the yeshiva, or Shechter, was older, came to the base medrash, so Ron Lichtenstein was older, so he was the one everyone looked up to. Okay, and he was the one people found. He said, those who remember of Lichtenstein, he wore his tzitzis wrapped around his belt. Okay, and so he said that's what other people started to do in the yeshiva, because they said that's what he does, that's what we're going to do too, because people saw the younger Bacher, or Shechter was the younger Bacher, they saw what a Talmud Chacham was, he had so much tzlich in learning, so they tried to imitate him, he was the one that they tried to imitate. Anyway, so that's the idea of Lashon HaMishnah. It's not only in in the linguistic, but in other styles as well. It's a style, you know. And again, a lot of children. I don't like to talk about so much about my grandchildren so much, but you know, yesterday when I was there visiting, so we went late in the day, right after the rain. My daughter again is teaching. She has her little boy, her youngest right now is turning 4. So she was teaching in the beginning of Bereshis, and he did it in that sing-song tune, you know, Bereshis in the beginning. So he, you know, he's a 4-year-old, he's just turning 4. So he sang it in that tune. He was so excited. There's a certain tradition. He sang it for me yesterday. You know, Bereshis in the beginning, Barak, Hashem created, that's Hashem, I am at heaven. Okay, he doesn't understand what it means, created, what it means, heaven. So, you know, my daughter asked him, where do you live? I live on the earth. Okay, good. But I'm just saying that that language and the tune and the style, I think, is something which helps people remember. And the last thing, and we'll start the Mishnah Hashem tomorrow, the Brisa tomorrow, but then it says, Bochar, Baruch Sheh Bochar Bahem Uva Mishnosam. Okay? It's such an interesting thing. Baruch, it's like almost like a Berachas HaTorah, right? We say Baruch Shabbach HaBan, we gave us a Torah. Here it's Baruch Shabbach HaBahem Mishnosam. Okay, blessed is HaKadosh Baruch who chose the Chachamim and their teachings. Okay, and it goes back to the idea that what the Chachamim are really representing comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I said this at the very beginning when we started Pirkei Avos. You know, there's a lot of good advice in Pirkei Avos. We don't see it so much as halacha in a strict sense of yoredeya. You know, we're allowed to do this and not allowed to do that. But, you know, one might think that Pirkei Avos is a collection of human wisdom, the product of human wisdom. There are books in English and other languages and so on of good advice. And, you know, Ben Franklin, the Poor Richard's Almanac and so on, as behavior things. And other people write things. But here it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the stamp of approval, Baruch Sheh Baruch Abraham Mishnosam, is presented at the very beginning. So when Shonu Chachom and Tal, they learn the Shona Mishnah, right, when they follow the traditions and they follow the teachings of the Rebbeim and so on and so forth, so then it's Bochar Shabbachar Baham Vishnosam. And Mitzvah Shem, this is just a brief introduction. Mitzvah Shem tomorrow. It's okay for people tomorrow, right? So this week we'll meet these days, maybe not every Yom Tov, we'll meet at 9:30 just for Pirkei Avos. Okay, have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Lochen Chazor.
Thank you.